Hi, good morning. It's really good to see you. It's good to be with brothers and sisters, isn't it? It's good. It's more than good. It refreshes my soul to be able to be with you today, to share this together, that we have this in common. We're followers of Jesus. We're followers of the way. We're His. He's ours. And we get to share this today, this special time. And I pray, God, that it's special, God, that we would take the words today, that this would be a day, if any day, to say, God, blot me out, make me nothing, that your message would go forth and that y'all would hear God and not me. That my words would be nothing, but His words would be everything today. In case you didn't know, my name is Milt, and I'm really glad that you're here today as we continue in this series called Get Real. It's called Get Real because James is writing, and he's talking to Jewish believers, but he's also talking to us today, and he recognizes there's some things that sometimes we live our Christianity not quite the way God wants us to. James notices that, and he calls Christians out. He says, it's time to get real with your faith. It can't just be superficial. It can't just be with lip service only. As James says, well, may we be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so it's called get real. Get real with your faith. Make it yours. Make it strong. Make it powerful. Live it out. And today we're actually going to finish chapter 2 in the book of James. Last week we started it. Today we're going to finish chapter 2. So we're moving right along, right? Chapter 2 will be in the books. They may grow up with the kids' hymns, you know? Yeah? Like some of those old hymns? Like I didn't. I was 19 when I came to Christ, and so I didn't have those. But I certainly enjoy teaching them to my children and grandchildren. How about, anybody know this one? Right? It has motions to it. Deep and wide, right? We love that. How about, I'm in the Lord's army, right? You get to march. Yeah, right? One of my favorites that I love teaching my kids was, if you're saved and you know it, right? Because it has these actions you get to, like, play along. You know, you get to, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands, right? If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. And then after the third one, you get to do all of them at the same time, and it's just unorganized, chaotic mess, right? So much fun for a kid, right? And so I just love it. Anyway, there's a line in there that says, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. I'm fairly confident James didn't sing that, but I think he would agree with a theology. Right? I think he would agree with that, because he's basically saying the same thing in our opening verse of our text today, which we'll get to in just a moment. But I'm going to first ask you to help me recite our family declaration that expresses how much God's word means to us. It is our authority. It is life. It is what sets us free. It is the hope we have. And so I'm going to invite you to say that with me, okay? Everybody ready? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to open up to James chapter 2. Flip all the way to the right. You go cruising all the way past there. You go back there into the book of James, right? James chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 14, and we're going to be reading through the end of the chapter, but not all at one time. We're going to start with verse 14. James says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Someone has said that faith is kind of like calories. You don't really see them, but you certainly see the results of them, right? And so if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. We're studying the book of James, and we're going to find the whole book, the whole meaning of the book is wrapped up in these verses that we're going to read today, unpacked, because if you believe like you should, then you will behave like you should. Genuine faith will produce a genuine lifestyle, a life change. If you really got the Holy Spirit in you, it's going to result in a different lifestyle. It's just a fact. Now, before we get too far, I want to make sure we get some things squared away, because over the centuries, there have been people that have claimed that James is actually preaching and teaching salvation by works. Like, you have to do things in order to be saved, and I'm just here to tell you, I just talked to him a little while ago, it's not true at all, right? Okay, so I didn't talk to him, but I've studied James a lot, and when we look at context is very important. When we look at the context, we see that that is not what James is teaching at all, okay? And I want us to dive in. I just want us to put it in park for just a little bit right here with that and unpack that a little bit more. But the best way I know how to explain this is with a comparison contrast, if you will, of the Apostle Paul and James. The Apostle Paul comes out and he's full on that salvation is by grace through faith, and that's it. Okay? Paul makes sure that we understand that you have been saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, in those three verses, 8, 9, and 10, tell that. But then at the end, a lot of times people memorize or read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and they go with... they stop there, but I think it's important because we'll see how James and Paul agree. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. Okay? It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do. Why? So we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. He says, salvation is by faith. It's not by what you do. It's by what Jesus did, nothing you can do. You can't add anything to it. It is by grace through faith, and that is it. Okay? But he says, but don't lose sight of this. You have been saved. You know, you are God's masterpiece, and he created you anew. He gave you a new spirit. He gave you a new heart, and he created you anew in him so that you can do. Oh, so you can do. You can't just, you're not just saved to sit, y'all, right? We're saved to serve. He said, you have been made anew so that you can do the things that he planned for us long ago. And then James comes along, and we're going to skip down a few verses, but we'll come back. We're going to look at verse 18 in James chapter 2 and verse 18. And he says, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. It seems like on the surface, it seems like maybe a contradiction in Scripture. But I would be absolutely positive with boldness and declaring there is no contradictions in the Word of God. Amen? Amen? So there's no contradictions here. But what I want us to see is they're both talking about the same subject, salvation. But the context is different. They're talking about salvation. Paul is talking about the mode of salvation. How do you get there? How do you get saved? How do you get born again? How do you get redeemed? And Paul's saying, it is by grace through faith plus nothing. It is absolutely, you can't boast and brag and claim it. All you can do is believe and receive what he has done. Paul's making it very, very clear. The mode of salvation is by grace through faith. Okay? And then James is looking at it from the context of not necessarily the mode of salvation, but the fruit of salvation. And James is saying, if you have been born again, really, if you have been converted, if you have had a new heart placed in you, if you do have the Holy Spirit in you, you can't remain the same. It just doesn't happen. A changed heart will result in a changed lifestyle. And that's what James is saying. Paul's coming at it from the context of the mode of salvation. James is coming at it from the context of the fruit of salvation. Secondly, it's important to know Paul is addressing some areas of legalism going on that he's seeing. Because there, as it's not just 2,000 years ago, throughout centuries, we've seen it. You see it in denominations and churches all across the world. It's salvation. It's belief in Jesus and putting your trust in him and, right? You can go back to the first century and it was like salvation plus circumcision, right? Salvation plus 10% of your money. Salvation plus church membership. Salvation plus serving. Salvation plus this. Salvation plus that. And Paul's coming against that with the fire of Scripture that says, no, it is by grace through faith and nothing else. You can't add anything to it, and when you try doing that, it's no longer faith. It's no longer salvation. Paul is coming at it from the aspect of opposing legalism. James is coming at it from the point of he's addressing some spiritual apathy. There were people who were like, hey, I got mine. You go get yours. I think my Bible says I'm saved to sit. Right? And James is like, no, 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 no. If you have named the name of Jesus, really, if you have been born again and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, that means God has created you to do and live out and be Jesus to a world who needs to see him. Like, why do you suppose God left us here once we believed? So that we could have a family, a career, buy some toys, grow old, fish and golf? Is that why God left us here once we put our trust in Jesus? No, he left us here so that we could be a light in a dark place shining so that people will see Jesus in us so that they can put their faith in him as well. And when you name the name of Jesus, you will live differently. You can't remain the same. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work. If you truly, James is like, if you truly have a changed heart, then it will reflect in a changed lifestyle. If the root is really Jesus, there will be fruit on the tree. Okay? Okay, so all of that was just the introduction. We can start the time now. All right? Let's go to our first verse of our text in verse 14 and we'll dive in. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? So what I wanted to do earlier was just, I want to make sure we understand there's no contradiction. Okay? James is not preaching and teaching salvation by works. He's saying, if you have experienced salvation, it will result in a changed lifestyle. Can that kind of faith save anyone, he says. He asks a great question. What good is it to claim you have faith but don't have good deeds? It's like having this card in your wallet that says you're a certified lifeguard, but you don't even know how to swim. Right? And so James, he gives us some characteristics of genuine faith. Characteristics of genuine faith. Write these down. The first one is this. Genuine faith is not indifferent, it's involved. Genuine faith is not indifferent, it is involved. Verse 15. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing? What good does that do? What good does it do? James is saying if your so-called faith doesn't even have the power to motivate you to help someone who is in your path that needs your help, can you really call that faith? Is that a faith that can really save you? Interestingly, John says kind of the same message, but he uses the word love. He's like, if you really love, it will cause you to move. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, let's look at that. He says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Both James and John are saying that genuine faith and genuine love compels us to get involved. To take it a step farther, genuine faith causes us to care about the things that God cares about. Genuine faith causes us to love the people that God loves. Genuine faith causes us to despise the things that despise God. And because of that, you won't be able to stay on the sidelines uninvolved. Number two, genuine faith is not independent, it's in partnership. Genuine faith is not independent, it is in partnership. Verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Genuine faith doesn't exist by itself. James is saying that faith and works cannot be separated. They go together. One without the other is useless. One without the other is dead. Where faith exists, where true, genuine faith exists, it will always be accompanied by genuine works. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. Now this is pretty rough. So listen. He said, another proof of the conquest of a soul for Christ will be found in a real change of life. If the man does not live differently from what he did before, both at home and away, his repentance needs to be repented of. And his conversion is a fiction. Ouch. If a man does not live differently from what he did before, both at home and away, his repentance needs to be repented of, and his conversion is a fiction. Number three, genuine faith is not invisible, it's on display. Genuine faith is not invisible, it's on display. Verse 18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. The word show in the scripture means to bring to light or to put on display. And James is basically saying, okay, come on, bring it. Give it your best shot. Put on display, bring to the light how you can have faith without good works. And I will put on display, I will bring to light my faith by my good works. Yet how many have we ever met people that have said, preacher, but my faith is private. My faith is private. No. Personal, yes. But never private. Your faith is always on display. There are people watching you all the time. You name the name of Christ, guess what? People are going to be watching you. Are you really different? Because they want different. They want to see success. They want to see you different. They're hoping. They're desperate to see you different. You name the name of Christ and they don't have him. They need to see that there's something different. Because if there's not anything different, they're like, another fly-by-night type of thing. Another loss. Another that didn't work. They're desperate to see something in you that's different. Your faith is on display. Number four, genuine faith is not a belief in the mind, it's a reality in the heart. Genuine faith is not a belief in the mind, it is a reality in the heart. Verse 19, you say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. It's saying it's not enough to, like, I come to church, I believe in God. Oh, do you know, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that in the last 17, 18 years, I'd be a lot more generous than what I am, I'd like to think. I believe in God, I go to church, I'm a member of this, I give some money every now and then. Hey, I serve at the food bank, right? Foundational to the Jewish faith is a creed called Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And James is saying, oh, you can recite a creed. Really good, good, good. Oh, you believe there's a God. Wonderful. The demons also believe. Now, I'm not coming against the Jewish faith because our Christian faith has probably more, right? We think, you know, we can recite the Apostles' Creed. Yay, good for us, right? You go to church, yay. You're a member, yay. You give some money, yay. You serve, yay, right? But what has happened in here? Because if it's just 18 inches of land of real estate up here to here, and it's never made it to the heart, it's useless. It's useless. Simply saying that reciting a creed or a prayer or doing works will not and cannot save you. Do you hear me? Does everybody hear me? Doing good works and reciting creeds and belonging and serving and giving and things like that cannot save you. Let's keep reading, and then I want to come back to that. Verse 20. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. These two examples are about as far apart as day and night. Abraham is this guy that God chose to be the father of his chosen people, Israel. Rahab was a prostitute. Why the extremes? I think James is trying to draw a picture here that there's no favoritism with God. That it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what background you came from. It doesn't matter. Genuine faith can and will change anyone and everyone. By the way, both Abraham and Rahab are in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, in case you didn't know that. Very different backgrounds, but faith changed them both. And finally, in verse 26, James concludes the whole issue of faith and works. Verse 26, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Like, which direction are you going, Pastor? Yes. Let me close and try to make this as clear as I know how. You cannot and you will not get to heaven based on what you know or what you do, by how much you serve or how much you give. You cannot get to heaven based on those things. Believing in Jesus will not save you. For the demons also believe and tremble. You can have all the head knowledge in the world. You can have all the book knowledge. You can have all the Bible knowledge in the world and die in your sin and spend eternity in hell. On the other side, you can do all kinds of wonderful things. You can serve every day. You can be involved in church every week. You can attend both services every week till Jesus comes back. You can give all your money and still die in your sin and spend eternity in hell. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's hill. And you taking that blood and applying it to the doorpost of your heart and receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. It's the only way to heaven. Even Luke in Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ and Him alone. It is through Him, His precious blood is the only way to heaven. People say, "Well, that sounds awful, awful exclusive." No, actually, it's all inclusive. He said, "Whosoever will, let him come." The invitation is to everybody. But the route is singular. If you want to come, you're welcome to come, but you have to come this way. Through the blood of Jesus. It's the only way to heaven. Yet James makes it very clear that faith without works is dead. Useless. Because why did God save you? He didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. He saved you and put His Spirit in you so that you could be a light shining in a dark place. So you could be salt and light. So you can be the hope of the world. I believe the local church is the hope of the world, y'all. The local church is the hope of the entire world. There are thousands and thousands of people out there dying on their way to hell, waiting for to see something genuine in you, in me. And that's what James is saying. The fruit isn't just so you can look good. The fruit that people see in your life is so they can be drawn. Jesus says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." How does He do that? Through us. He said, "You're plan A, and there's no plan B." Who's going to tell your family member? Who else is going to tell your neighbor? Who is going to tell your coworker? Who's going to live a life that speaks loudly, "I'm a follower of Jesus," without even opening their mouth? That's what James is saying. In other words, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it.